I'd like now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Brent Cleaver. He's director of film programming with the Santa Fe Film Festival, and Festival Eve is tonight. Welcome, Brent, to the Radio Cafe.
Great to be here, Mary Charlotte, as usual. Long time. How have you been?
Oh, wonderful. And I'm so excited about the film festival. I've been watching movies like a maniac and trying to get filmmakers on the air, and some of them are available and some of them aren't. But let's talk about some of the films. First of all, how do you put together a festival like this? You, as the basically the guy where the buck stops in terms of what films actually get into the festival.
Yes, in the terms of the curated films, I want to separate that from the without-a-box films, which include most of the short films, which you've probably discussed with Diane. Those are entry films, and those go through a panel and go through a process of selection. Now, the films, and there are a few features in that category as well. The films I pick are the curated films, of which there are about 37 of them. And we can talk about a few of them. I don't want to go down the list of every one of them. But, right. You know, there's some of the higher profile ones, but yet some of the delicious little obscure items as well. You know, I've been doing this for so long, as you know, that things stick out to me. Filmmakers stick out with me. For instance, the chance to get Raul Ruiz's last film, film he was made while he was dying, the Chilean filmmaker, very prolific filmmaker, it's a film called The Night Across the Street, was a must for the festival because this ends, you know, several decades of one of the most inventive, creative filmmakers in the history of the medium.
Tell us about I haven't been able to get in touch with Andres Wood, who made this movie about Violeta Parra, which is so, I mean, it's a narrative movie, it's a feature film, it's kind of a biopic, but it doesn't even really try to be a realistic movie. It's more like, I mean, I think of it as responding to an artist with another work of art, namely a film, but the actress looks and acts so much like the great Chilean artist and singer and songwriter Violeta Parra that it's really uncanny. How did you come across that film?
Well, it actually won a major award at Sundance, and it just kind of lost its way, and I was searching around for it, and in the midst of all this searching and finding the sales rep in Chile, a company here in the United States, whom I deal with quite a bit at the screen, by the name of Kino Lorber, just picked it up like that. You know, it was just like cosmic forces came together. And I asked for a copy. I had first seen it on this line called Festival Scope, which is this streaming service that's available to film programmers. It comes out of Britain. And you pay so much a year, and you get to watch put your codes in, and you get to watch a film one time. And it's very good for programmers. And you have to prove you're a programmer or a curator for an art house or whatever. So I first saw it on that as a streamer. And then right after I saw that, this company picked it up. And, of course, I was looking for Latin American items anyway because of our locale and our closeness to those specific cultures. And also reading the synopsis, I mean, it just seemed perfect. But unlike you, when I saw the film, and you were going, oh, here we go, I'm expecting another biopic, blah, 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 and this is anything but. It goes out of its way to be very innovative. It goes out of its way to go against the traditions of biopics. I mean, this is no whitewashing. The woman herself is depicted in a very contradictory way. And like you say, at times it feels like a documentary. The structure of the film goes back and forth, and it's not doesn't uphold to a normal narrative tradition. It's not just this kind of simple, and then they did this, and then they did this, and then they did this. And I was really taken back by the filmmaking qualities because it was anything but your usual biopic.
Which I loved about it. I mean, as you say, it moves around in time. Now, Violeta Parra, by the way, the film is called Violeta Goes to Heaven. is from an incredibly prolific artistic family. I mean, I think all of her brothers and sisters ended up being major artists or creative people of one kind or another. It doesn't go into that at all. It's just about her character, and I think it's one of the most touching and realistic depictions of, I don't even want to call it unrequited love, but it's a kind of complicated love story that changes over time. Beautifully done.
It's very tempestuous. I mean, it's, and you know, she goes off on that, you know, she's not a good mother. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, here's this woman that's going on speaking for other people's rights and is a terrible mother herself.
Right, exactly.
You know, she comes back to find one of her children dead of pneumonia, you know. And I think you mentioned something. While the whole family was a family of artists, that's 10 movies there. And that's too many times filmmakers think they have to tell the whole story. And they end up not telling anything, or they end up, you know, spreading themselves too thin and not focusing on what makes this character interesting. And so they've chosen to focus on her. And then, of course, the whole thing of the museum that's a tent. And I mean, it's just fascinating.
We're talking to Brent Cleaver about the Santa Fe Film Festival. Then there are some other lovely movies. Well, why don't you, I mean, there's a nice one about Jake Shimabukuro, who is a, this sounds like an oxymoron, but he's a ukulele virtuoso, and that's a beautiful documentary. What are some of your other favorites?
Well, Chun-Li and the Poet. It's totally come unknown to this country. It just won the European Parliament Award, which was this major award that the EU Parliament gives. And when a film wins this award, they translate it into 40 different languages and also make a print for each country so that they're able to see this film. It's actually an Italian film that deals with a Chinese barkeep, a woman, who strikes up this odd relationship with this old Slavic gentleman who had come over during the Yugoslavic days, and both sides of their particular ethnic groups make fun of them. I mean, and it's a very human film. You know, she's much younger than he is. I mean, it's a lovely, lovely story. And you'll be hearing more about that. We also, another one I like on the photographer Gregory Crudson, called Brief Encounters. And this is a guy that sets up, you know, these elaborate stagings to photograph. He's more like a movie maker or set director, and then photographs instead of making moving pictures, photographs these images. And the director, Ben Shapiro, will be here for question and answer during that. Another, we have the first film from Kenya that has ever been submitted to the Academy Award Foreign Language Picture category. And it's kind of a genre picture and interesting in a young boy that comes from the slums who wants to make it. So it's that kind of hoppity goes to town allegory. But it's very well done, and when you know, in the way it's shot and everything, and comes to town to try to make it his fame and fortune in show business, and some lovely performances. There's also Hitler's Children, which is about the people that were related to Hitler's inner circle, the, you know, that had to go through the years afterwards knowing that they were a Goering or a Himmler, or that they were related to these people. If you remember, Stanley Kubrick's wife was related to one of the most famous Nazi filmmakers. I don't know if you saw that. So there's always been this group of people, obviously, that, you know, the old phrase, you can't blame me who I'm related to. So this deals with people that were related to Hitler's inner circle. And Bettina Sellers, who will be there in person, was the great niece of Hermann Goering. And she's in the film and will be there in person.
Very interesting. It's interesting to contemplate, because it's probably the genocide whose perpetrators are most well known by name. Like, nobody can name who was the head of the Armenian or the Rwandan or whatever genocide. Nobody knows those names. And so their children and great-grandchildren can walk around anonymous, which perhaps they should be able to do since they really didn't have anything to do with it. But not this one.
Well, she came, you know, an exile, changed her use her husband's name, and she even went so far as to fix herself so that she could never bear children. So it's a very interesting story. She wanted to break the line right with her. There's a lovely animated film called Les Tableaux from France, or the painting, which is about this painting that's in the act of becoming and trying to find its right colors. And it's actually an actual painting from like the 1930s, we think. And it's always, is it finding the colors or not? It's always taking shape and form and then becoming disembodied, only to come together again. Children and adults both. It's a marvelous, marvelous film. We have Werner Herzog's, he makes so many films, I don't know if this is his latest, but this is certainly one of his latest, called Happy People, A Year in the Taiga, and it's very different than some of his. What he's done is he's taken a six-hour television series of shot by a Russian filmmaker following this Siberian through, you know, a year of his life, okay, in the taiga. And what Herzog has done is taken the footage and pared it down to 90 minutes and added his own narration. And in the typical kind of acerbic and informative Herzogian way that can only be Herzog, but it's a stunning film. It's a stunning film. And that's going to play over at the New Mexico Museum of History. I might add, since we're on that we have added, you know, one venue this year, in that on Saturday we will also be showing at the New Mexico Museum of History. So there'll be a full day of programming over there.
And there's going to be things like panel discussions. So there's a panel discussion on the 9th of December, I guess that's Sunday, from 10:30 to 2 at the Hotel Santa Fe, which is a panel discussion on the depiction of gay men on screen at this time in history.
Yes, yes, yes. And that'll be right before the showing of Deception, the film that was left unfinished by its maker when he died of AIDS, and was finished by a group of his friends. And that's actually already a sold-out film. So we also have, I don't have the times on this in front of me, but we also have a panel on the future of film and how, in this digital age and in the age of DCP and the end of the motion picture film, what is the future of film? Because right now, as a theater owner, as you know, we're going through a huge transition. And even for this festival, I'm going through a huge transition because of certain things, because we have not made that upgrade yet to DCP, that there are certain things I couldn't get because of it. So I still had to look at things strictly in 35, or what was available in 35 millimeter, and also where we couldn't get 35 or DCP, go with Blu-ray.
So that panel discussion on the future of film history is at the Hotel Santa Fe also, and that's on Friday from 3 to 4:30. And there's all sorts of things that are going on in terms of discussions that people can get involved in.
Oh, right. And everybody that needs to go to the website, I mean, I'm just giving you a little bits and pieces of things. There's several filmmakers coming. The director of Vacation Land, which was this wonderful indie shot in Maine, and I think kind of the depiction of it is everybody's nightmare. There was the gist of the story is that there's this family reunion, and at the last minute, the reunion is canceled, except whoever put it together forgets to tell five or six of the people that were supposed to come. So they show up anyway. And it's a very sweet picture. It's a very sweet picture. And they all make these kind of new relationships, and some of them are of different age groups, and that stars Karen Black. And we tried to get Karen here, and unfortunately she's unable to come.
Too bad.
But, yeah.
And I think it's important to see narrative films that are not Hollywood, that are made in America, because often they have a kind of emotional quality and emotional sensitivity and truth-telling that you don't really see in Hollywood films.
No, and I agree, and you nailed it right on the head with Vacation Land. I truly think that. And Any Day Now. Any Day Now, which closes the festival, and the director, Travis Fine, will be here. And many people are pushing Alan Cumming for acting awards, even though this is a very low-budget film, and has won some major awards at Tribeca and some places, but it's not a Hollywood film. It is your very low-budget film. These two are, Vacation Land and this film are very much examples of that type of filmmaking. And also we tried to get Alan Cumming, who had in the past been a guest here, but he's caught shooting A Good Wife in New York, so he was an agent. But Travis, the director, will be here. So,
well, Brent Cleaver is the director of film programming with the Santa Fe Film Festival, and the whole thing opens tonight, Festival Eve, with the movie Now Forager that we will be talking about in a moment, and then really gets underway Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. People can go to santafefilmfestival.com for more information. Brent, thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Right. Well, thank you, Mary Charlotte. And I might say we do open, you know, on Thursday with Hyde Park on the Hudson, but it's sold out.
Yeah, right. That's why.
I got to push it. We do have a sellout. So,
yeah.
Actually, tickets are selling very, very nicely. So it's always a pleasure to be on your show and the interest you take in us.
Well, good. And people should definitely go get their tickets in advance. If there's even any chance you think it's going to sell out, better to have your tickets in advance. Brent, thanks again.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.